Funding for The Front Row on Texas Tech Public Radio comes from the Helen Jones Foundation and from Citibank. Citibank's award-winning app delivers features that are redefining mobile banking, like the ability to turn your debit card off if it's ever lost or stolen, and the ability to raise ATM and spending limits. More information is at citibankonline.com. Citibank, member FDIC. Support also comes from Texas Tech's J.T. and Margaret Talkington College of Visual and Performing Arts. Art, music, theater, and dance. Dean Noel Zoller invites you to enjoy some of the 800 performances and exhibits produced each year by talented students, faculty, and visiting artists. See the stars of tomorrow on the stage today. Texas Tech's J.T. and Margaret Talkington College of Visual and Performing Arts. Explore, dream, discover. And from Lubbock's Cultural District. Always creative, never flat. More information is available at lubbockculturaldistrict.org. The rock and roll musical Grease goes into production this week here in the Hub City with an all-Lubbock cast. We have all the details about the production on today's show. I hope you can stay tuned. On today's edition of The Front Row, we are at the Texas Tech University School of Music in the office of Gerald Dolter, who, besides his duties at the School of Music, is the founder and creator of Lubbock Moonlight Musicals and Moonlight Broadway and all of the iterations of Moonlight. It's Jerry Dolter.
Yeah, hello, Clint. How are you?
Welcome to the show.
Good to see you today. Thanks for coming over.
Absolutely. Well, you have a show that's going into production.
Yes.
It's Grease.
Grease is the word. Oh, it's one of my favorite shows. We've been rehearsing this now for probably the last 8 weeks. The ensemble is entirely from Lubbock, and some of them are Texas Tech students. There's at least one that's from Cooper High School. But the leads are tried and true Moonlight Musicals veterans. And many of them have held leading and title characters with our productions. And we've brought them all together. This is an all-star cast.
Wow. How did you decide you wanted to do Grease?
Oh, goodness. I think Grease has universal appeal. It's a show that I never get tired of. I was born back in 1955, so I lived in the 60s, but I was born and raised in Dubuque, Iowa, which is in eastern Iowa, and they always said that everything hit Dubuque 10 years later. So I feel like when I grew up in the 50s anyway. I think Grease has appeal even to us today, simply because it was an easier time to live in. Yeah, you're dealing with all the same problems, but it was a lot simpler having to deal with things. Maybe that's starting with television and then now it's the internet that makes things so accessible. It just seems like it makes things so complicated. And also, Grease just a year and a half ago, the live broadcast of the show. And their movie is having a revival here and just not too long ago. They're going to be re-releasing it for the big screen. So, I just thought the time would be right to bring this show. And the last time that I produced Grease was in the early 2000s, and I did it at Texas Tech. And at least three of the people that were in that show have gone on to professional careers. One of them, he was a physical therapy major, and involvement in the show changed his life. It was Jeff Smith. So, there's a lot of reasons to do it. What I was really struck by was when I initially pulled the cast together and everybody was there, there were 30 of them sitting there, all these young, fresh faces, all smiley. And I said, okay, who's done Grease before? And no one raised their hand. I said, who has seen the movie? About half of them raised their hand. The majority of them really didn't know this piece. And I said, well, you're all very young. I said, who is the oldest person here? So I picked him out. I said, when were you born? And he says, 1975. And that's the oldest one. And then I realized this is a generation that is, and they're talented, and they are removed. They're far removed from that time. So I'm going to have to pull on my teaching abilities and show them what life was like back then. I want to emphasize there, you know, there are some people that think that there is objectionable material in Greece. Some of the references, first of all, we've taken out all the bad language. Mm-hmm. And actually, the producers, the creators of the show, they realized after it premiered on Broadway, I saw the original premiere of the show on Broadway when I was a sophomore or junior in high school. And I went on a Sunday afternoon, and I went on a whim with some college girls. They needed to take a boy with them, so they couldn't get any of the college boys to go, so as a high school boy, I went with them. And the understudy for Danny Zuko that day, that afternoon, was Richard Gere before he became famous. And I didn't realize it, but John Travolta was in that cast. He was a member of the ensemble. I can't remember any of that. I wouldn't even remember if he was in it, but he was a young John Travolta was in that show. Mary Lou Henner from Taxi, I think mm-hmm. it was. Yeah, she was in the show as well. So people got their start in that career. It was what I remember about it was that it was fast-paced and that it was colorful and it was young. But there were a lot of bad words in it. You know, I remember, I was shocked. You know, a high school kid doesn't need to hear all that.
Right.
The subject matter is tough enough. Greece is about young people growing up, and the same problems face us today. And I think society has come up with it's interesting what they've done to divide us, because some people would say that society's come up with ways to deal with the problems of teenagers, and other people would say that society's just come up with ways to promote the problems of teenagers. The fact is that teenagers are growing up, and they're not completely grown up yet. They're not fully prepared for full responsibility of life. Some of them are learning how to do it. So I have chosen to look at the good side of Greece, the good side of growing up, and the good side of teenagers doing things for others. For instance, there's a scene where Rizzo thinks that she's pregnant. Now, I know very well back in the day, girls got pregnant back in the 50s, and it was horrible the way some of them were dealt with. And of course, this was before the pill. It was before some of the advantages that girls have now. No one wants out-of-wedlock teenage pregnancy. I know that's a red-button, hot-topic issue. No one wants it. No one wants it today. No one wanted it back then. Well, as it turns out, Rizzo isn't pregnant. She's just late. So then I got to thinking about this. Why would she be late? She's under a lot of stress. Girls that age are under a lot of stress. And she comes from a broken home. You know, there was, when we were doing the scene, it's close to the end of the show, when they're in Jan's basement and they're listening to records on the little record player, the 50s music. They're just having a great time. And we just stopped the rehearsal midstream. And I said, okay, I have a question to ask you guys. From your character's perspective, now this, you're talking as your character to me right now. Who of your parents knows you're here right now? Who knows? And the people that are in the cast, the ages they're portraying are ages 16 through 18. Jan says, my parents, this is my house. They know I'm here. Duty says, yeah, I'm 16 years old. Yeah, I told my dad. We went down the line, and then we got to Rizzo. And Rizzo said, my parents don't know, and they don't care either. I'm on my own, so I do what I want to do. That explains a whole lot about what afflicts her. Now, as it turns out, Kanicki, who's the number two guy in the show, Danny Zuko's number one. See, people think Greece is about Danny and Sandy getting together. No. It's like they're in Grease Lightning. They're just along for the ride of the show. What makes the show go is the relationships that all the other characters have to each other. And that's what makes high school relationships go, too. But back to Kanicki. Kanicki, underneath of it all, there's something about Rizzo that makes his heart go pitter-pat. And I don't mean in the carnal male way. There's something about her that he is definitely attracted to. Does he know what love is yet? Well, that's to be proven still, probably. But there are some clues. very early in the show, the boys ask him, the boys in his group, the Burger Palace boys, they ask him, "So what'd you do all summer, Knix? We didn't see you. What'd you do all summer?" "I was working down at some such business, lifting boxes, putting boxes up." "Oh, how cool. Why? Why? That's quite a job." And he said, "Well, it's better than any you two skids could do." He said, "Look, I'm going to buy a car." "Really? What are you going to call it?" "It's going to call Grease Lightning." You know? Why does he, as a stage director, I always ask myself, why? Why do characters make the decisions that they do? Why do people talk to each other the way that they do? He's done a very responsible thing. I did this in high school. High school kids get jobs. Why? Some of them are going to go to college. They want to pay their tuition. Some of them want to get out of the house already. Maybe they want to live on their own. We have kids here at Texas Tech that are freshmen that are, they work jobs and they are living on their own. We have a vocal performance major here who is a manager at one of the fast food sites. I think she might be a manager for Chick-fil-A. And still she's doing a vocal performance degree. That is really tough. She works 40 hours a week. That is really tough to do. We got to keep that in mind. But it's responsible. It is responsible behavior. So Kanicki's worked all summer long to buy this car. Why? Because he wants to attract the right girl. You know, guys think that girls like fast cars. Well, yeah, some of them do. But mostly what the girls are attracted to is the guy that's driving that fast car. And when Kanicki takes that, makes that decision of being a responsible person, by golly, that is the first step to becoming a man. And maybe his dad wasn't there to help him make the decision. Maybe he was. See, Kanicki, in Jan's basement, Kanicki does, his parents do know where he's at. And mostly he just puffs himself up as this tough guy just to belong to the group. Very soon he'll be growing out of that. And I remember what this is like because I used to have a bunch of friends that I ran with in high school. It was all boys, you know, and we talked big talk about the girls and we talked big talk about sports and we were all involved in sports. We were involved in choir. We were involved in theater. We did all of that. But when the girl came along, the right one, the boy would pull away from the group. And, you know, you'd ask the question, "Hey, where's so-and-so tonight? What's going on? Where is he? It's a Saturday afternoon. How come he's not joining us for the game this afternoon?" Well, he's got a girlfriend now. And so he's spending time with the girl. So, you know, there's that, to me, that's what Grease is about.
Right.
It's those kinds of things. And if you add in the 50s music to that, there's those real romantic numbers that they talk about. Like the guys sing a song from Ricky Nelson, "Traveling Man." I've added that in. They play that in Jan's basement. And then there's the Elvis imitations that go on. And then, of course, there's the beauty school dropout number with the Frankie Avalon lookalike. He's called Teen Angel. And the girls that come out with him, the chorus that comes out with him, they look like beauty school beauticians, and they've got weird looking hair, and they kind of, in a way, they kind of look like aliens. but they come out, the 50s music, it just doesn't compare with anything else. It was quite an invention that came out of the 30s and 40s and out of jazz. But that's why that's why Buddy Holly and Elvis were such geniuses, because they were able to construct a whole new musical genre. And it was great to play with stuff like that. There are references to Fabian, you know. This was a big thing. When they were in Marty's basement early on, one of the girls says, "Gosh, I just, you know, look at this picture of Fabian," or whatever she says. Some girl's trying to get Fabian. And Marty says, "Well, that's okay, as long as they don't get their hooks into Cookie." So everybody's looking around each other. Who in the world is Cookie? There was a show back in the late 50s called 77 Sunset Strip. I don't know, some of the folks out there that are as old as me will remember that show. I watched it every Saturday night. You know, my parents probably didn't like it too much, but I was intrigued by the characters, even when I was young. And there was a minor character in that show. I can't remember the name of the actor that played him, but his name was Cookie. Oh, and he was all the men in that show were good looking. It was Sunset Boulevard in California, that whole mystique about what California was back in the 50s. So I've kind of gone on and on about this, but can you tell that I'm excited about this show?
Yeah, it sounds like that. So this is like a classic rock and roll musical. What are you doing for musical staff?
For musical staff, yes, conductors, Justin Duncan. Mm-hmm. Justin just, he just had his proposal, his doctoral proposal defense yesterday, passed it with flying colors. Great. He's going to do great. He's on his way to getting the doctorate. I'm staging the show. And then Kyla Olson, who is on the Texas Tech faculty and Flatlands Dance Theater choreographer and founder, she is our choreographer for the show. She has an assistant, Tamara Smith, who's our dance captain. Tamara's not in the show, but she is assisting. And then the scenic design is by Daniel Hogan. He's also designing the makeup. He has never been associated with Grease, and I think all of them are having just the time of their lives. The renderings that I've seen, the sets are already built. We've actually been rehearsing, Clint. Some of the sets are massive. There's two sets of high school bleachers that grace the stage, and people dance on them.
Oh, my.
And it's a little dangerous. Wow. So we've had to have rehearsals in the scene shop where those risers are. You know, for some of the Moonlight Broadway shows, I brought casts from out of town, and we've just thrown together the show in 3 weeks. I really wanted to do Grease here locally with local people because they could easily attain the role, the parts that they needed to play.
Right.
Plus, there's something extra special that they bring to doing it here when they're doing it for their friends and family and for the people who are here local.
Right.
I really think Lubbock's going to appreciate this show. I think there are messages in this show that are great. And you know what? I'm going to be a little honest about this. I don't like what a lot of stage directors have done with a show from the 50s. I honestly don't, because most of them are young and all they know about the 50s is what they read about in books. I lived during that time, and there was a lot that was really, really good about that time. And that's what I propose to bring forward, is the goodness, the innocence, the sweetness. I mean, there's a character in the show he really loves the way that he looks. His name is Sonny Lattieri, and his hair is never out of place. He preens himself like one of the girls, but his hair, he never has a hair out of place. And he said, who do I don't even know who I should be, because I'm not this character at all. And I said, go to Happy Days, watch Fonzarelli.
Right.
Be like Fonzarelli. Just notice his mannerisms. Watch how he walks around and carries himself, and you'll know what you need to do.
When are performances?
Performances are, guess what, we open in April, Friday the 13th. No, there's nothing unlucky about it. Friday the 13th of April, Saturday the 14th of April, Sunday matinee the 15th of April, and then the next weekend, we are with the Lubbock Arts Festival. And
great.
Yeah, this all happens in the Civic Center Theater.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll be there the next weekend, and the performances there, again, are on Friday, Saturday, and then Sunday matinee. That's April 20th, 21st, and 22nd. So there really isn't any excuse. I know everybody's still in town. It's not summer vacation yet. Spring break is over. You know, two weekends. Grease it's going to be a great show. And I should tell you, the band isn't that large. It's only seven people,
mm-hmm.
and they are not in the orchestra pit. That's another advantage to doing this show. We've put the band up on an 8-foot platform, upstage center. There is stuff that arrives onto the stage from underneath them, so the people will be able to see the band playing during the whole show.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, and the show then, we raise the orchestra pit, and the show comes way, 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 way far forward.
Mm-hmm.
So the audience is going to feel like the show's in their lap. The last time we did something like this was Disney's Tarzan,
mm-hmm.
and
mm-hmm.
that's the one thing that we heard from the audience was, goodness, I felt like I was in the jungle somewhere.
Right.
And that's exactly how it's going to feel this time. Those dance numbers are going to be right in your face.
Yeah. How can people get tickets?
Yes. Select a seat, call, and I would recommend that you call 770-2000. They open up at 10 o'clock in the morning. I think they go until 5 or 6 o'clock at night.
Mm-hmm.
You can also go to the website, selectaseatlubbock.org. Or maybe, I don't know, it might be a .com. If you just Google Select a Seat Lubbock, it'll take you to the right place. But that's where the tickets are, and we do have a lot of tickets left, yeah. But we're selling a lot, too. Sales have really picked up in the last couple of weeks.
Great, excellent. Joel Dalter, as always, a pleasure.
Thank you for taking
time to visit with us.
You bet. Thanks, Clint.
Today's episode of our program will be up on our website, kattz.org, later today. Rachel Boyd produces The Front Row. I'm Clint Barrick. Thanks for tuning in and listening.